What a day, what a service. Now, I tried diligently to give Sarah sermon titles and scripture verses, and of course, she's thinking one way, and I'm probably usually thinking the other way, but Sarah, you nailed it on that song right on. That is exactly, I don't know a whole lot more to say than maybe just taking that one verse out and reading it again and doing that. But turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. As Mike said, I preached all last month on spiritual gifts, looking at trying to understand the spiritual gifts. Mike's going to be talking more on towards salvation and those type things, so I'm trying to stay away from that so that he'll have the full thing. But I'm talking about a growing people for Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, we look at this model that is taught, and as he is speaking, he is sharing with the Ephesian church, these are the things that you need to be doing. And as we look at it, this is the same thing today. This is what we need to be doing as Christians also. So we'll read through the scriptures here, beginning with verse 11. Most of it are familiar with it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men that with deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For him the whole body, joined and held together by ever-supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May God add a blessing upon that reading. As we think about that, if we are to grow in our faith, we the church, then we are, and this is the way the commentator said, we the church are to provide opportunities and an environment for people to grow. And as I thought about that commentary and the commentator that wrote that, I wonder what setting he was in or she was in when it was written. And as I think about that, I thought about this song, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And we sing it in the popular pop and rocks and whatnot. In weddings, it is also referred to because talking about marriage as being a never-ending love. And as I think about church, I think about that circle. Will the circle be unbroken? Will we see an opportunity that circle keeps going and going and going? And what I have found out in my studies and talking with other pastors and youth ministers and ministers of education and others, what we're finding out is that circle has been broken. We are beginning now, if not two generations, two and a half, almost three generations of children that have not been brought up in church. Here in this building, like this, and all over the country. And they're not learning about the songs, and they're not learning the Bible stories like you and I learned them. They don't know about the great fish. They don't know about God parting the seas for the Israelites. They don't know these types of stories. They don't know the songs of deep and wide and those types of songs. This little light of mine. They've not been taught. And so we have seen that we have two and a half generations of people that have not studied God's Word because the church has not brought it up. Vacation Bible School is still one of the greatest gifts and the greatest tool that has probably been invented to use for reaching children that has ever been out. But even in the last years, decline has happened. People are not using the materials. And the biggest thing we're finding is we cannot find workers. Now, as a child, I remember having Vacation Bible School 2 weeks. How many would like to see Vacation Bible School for 2 weeks? Workers? Nuh-uh. We're having a hard enough time having them for a week, aren't we? It's hard to find workers in positions. Mike has been up here. He's asking, and Mike didn't say it, but Mike also knows the military way of volunteers, too. If you don't come to him, he may be coming to you. There are positions in this church that are needed people to serve in, and we need to see that this is what we're talking about here. Growth in a metaphorical situation is mentioned roughly 47 times in the New Testament. God's people are to grow into Christ's likeness. And as we look at it, we see the first verses there in verses 11 and 12. The purpose of the church is to encourage growth among its members. It says simply, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And the reason He gave us those gifts was what? To prepare God's people for works of service. That's pretty plain in the Scriptures. I don't know of any intelligent person that can write materials that can make it any plainer than that. The reason He gave it was for us to simply prepare the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's why we are to serve. That's why we're here. We're not here to enjoy music and say, oh, that's real nice and that sounded great, and walk out the door until next week. That's not what He's called us to do. He has given us gifts that we are to use and to prepare for Him to build up. Now, if you've got your Bibles, if you would, either underline, circle, I don't care what, but He who gave. God gave us these gifts. We didn't inherit them from our parents. You know, we may have inherited allergies or a bad heart or diabetes or something like that. You may inherit those, but it was God who gave us the gifts. We didn't inherit those from our parents. God gave them to us. Sunday school teachers, how many we got in here? All Sunday school teachers, please stand up. No Sunday school teachers? They all in the early service? Sunday school teachers, okay. You see these that are standing up here? These are teachers. These are people that have gifts that have been used for God's glory. Their job is servifold. It is one. It is to teach the Word of God. Yes, from the knowledge, but they also need to teach it so it's what? Heart knowledge also. It's not to be able to sit in a class for 1 year or 2 years or 20 years, and that's all you ever do. It is to challenge you to learn and discover the gift that God has given you to use for His glory. And we are to help in the growth. How about church leaders? Anybody that is in any team, deacons, spiritual leaders, anybody, any workers in the church, stand up. As we see the church leaders here, their responsibility is to encourage, to resource you, and at times challenge you, what? To love God and your neighbor. That's what they're all here for. That's what these workers are for. Deacons have become their understanding now, the spiritual guidance that they are supposed to, the spiritual shepherds of this church. That means that they are the responsibility of the spiritual growth of this church. And they need to encourage you. They need to find resources. And we need to be challenging one another in what? Improving on Jesus Christ. So what would make us want a mature church? What does a spiritually mature church look like? Well, we see in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the purpose is unity in purpose and direction. We need to be guiding. We have a good church here. We really do. But we have some things that we're not perfect by all means, and there are some things we need to work at. We have a lot of good projects that are going on, but if you were talking with someone about Christ, about our church, and you wanted to invite them to church, and they looked at you and said, well, what does your church have to offer? We have a lot of ministries going on, folks. But do we really all know about all the ministries that are going together? That is why Jesus pulled those disciples together and worked in a unison to have them to do the same thing and work the same way. There are a lot of good things going on in this church, but we need to work together in unity, and we need to be together. Look also in the verse 13 in the words mature and full measure. Unity is a sign of a spiritual mature church, a healthy church, maturity. That is what we're talking about. Paul says when we were babies, we drank milk. Now, I'm in that process now with my grandson. He's been drinking milk and the formula and stuff like that, and he is just beginning. I found out he just got his first tooth, and they're beginning to make and crush up actual food to give to him. He has left the milk, and he is getting ready to go to what? More mature food. And this is what he's telling us. It is time for us to get off the spiritual milk, and it is time for us to do what? Get on to the meat. And we need to get off our duffs and get moving. That's what he's saying. If you go to an emergency room and you've got any kind of heart problem, the first thing they'll do is put a monitor on you, right? And that monitor, when they look at it, it better be doing what, Mike? Better be doing this, hadn't it? What happens if it's doing this? You're dead. Or you're in trouble if you're not already dead. Where's our spiritual life at? It's right here, you're dead. If it's not bouncing, if you're not growing, and you're not seeing any maturity whatsoever, you're dying in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what Jesus said. He says, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either living for the name of Jesus Christ or you're dying in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no in-between, folks. We have a choice to make this day. Do we serve God or do we serve Satan? And if we're going to serve God, then what he is saying in the scriptures right now is he is saying that we need to come together as a unified church and be spiritually mature and begin to work. Look at the other verses there. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jesus set a standard for us, didn't he? He lived a sinless life on this earth. He died on this cross. And the scriptures give us the details, and Jesus has set a bar. He has set a standard for us, hadn't he? This is where we're supposed to live. Not here, but up here. No less. And this is what we do in classes, don't we? We have a standard that we want to teach our kids. We have a standard on this, and we have a standard. But yet, where is our standard for Christianity today? Have we set the bar where it needs to be? And are we moving in that direction? He is the example of maturity, and that is what we need. We see that in verses 14 and 15, there is intentional discipleship taking place. Now, I've heard people say, wow, look at that bunch of deacons you've got. You're talking about a variation of differences, of opinions. But folks, think about this. Think about the first disciples. Look at what Jesus put together. You talking about a hodgepodge, a mismatch of stuff. Look at the people he had. There was Peter and the Zealous. There was a couple of fishermen. There was a tax collector over here and who knows what else. You think he had it? We have it tough? Look at what Jesus started out to work with. And he did what with them? He brought them in and he discipled them. He taught them to be what? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And when he died on that cross and when the Spirit came upon them, what happened? They began to preach and teach like Jesus had taught them to do. And this is what it's saying here. This is the importance of discipleship. And in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will know to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We must disciple what Jesus has taught us. We must do what he has done. We use that word Christians, and it means Christ-likeness, to be like Christ, doesn't it? We are to be like Christ, and we are to act like Christ. We're to do like Christ. We are to be Christ. That's what it is saying there. That is what Paul is saying when he says, be ambassadors. The main reason people aren't growing in Christ is because there is no intentional discipleship. When people come and join this church and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what do? We pat them on the head, we make them stand down on the front, and everybody gets to come and extend the right hand of fellowship. What else do? That's it. Oh, yeah. We take a picture of them and put them on the board out here as new members. So at least you get to see they're a member of the church now, right? What about discipleship? How do we help the people grow when they accept Jesus Christ? What kind of classes do we offer? What do we do with our people? And this is the importance of discipleship. This is what Jesus was saying the night that he died, the night he was betrayed. What was he doing with his disciples? He was teaching them. He was teaching them. He was sharing with them, I am going to lead you, and I'm leaving you in charge to do what I have been doing. That's what he was teaching those disciples. And when I leave, it is your responsibility. As we look at verse 14, as people grow in the Lord, they become very secure in their faith. You know, I've had some people that I've talked to that's been Christians for 30 years, honest. And we've talked about going to heaven, and you know what they've said? Well, I sure hope I go to heaven. I sure hope. If you read the scriptures, what does it tell you? If we're growing in maturity, we understand what he's saying, don't we? We have grown. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to heaven. I've accepted Jesus Christ. I've invited him into my heart, and I know he's there. And he has promised he would never leave me, and I've never seen a time he has. And I know that he promised he's going to come back and take me home to be with him. There's not any hope to, folks. I know that. So as we see that, we will see that we will grow in the faith and we will become healthy. We see that growing Christians develop strong convictions about faith. You have a difference between opinion and a conviction. An opinion is simply stated something you'll argue about, right? But a conviction is something you will die for. You are so convicted for it that you want to die for it. The disciples of Jesus had an opinion about Jesus along with everybody else, but when the Spirit came upon them, they had a conviction, and they were what? Willing to die for Jesus Christ, and did die for Jesus Christ. You see the difference between an opinion and a conviction. As we grow in the Lord, our convictions become more absolute. Our convictions are rooted and growing Christians to produce a strong, healthy church. In verse 16, we see a spiritually mature church is obedient to Jesus. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by ever-supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. Jesus is the head of the church. Obedient to Jesus. Now, I grew up with a loving set of parents that loved me dearly and would do anything for me. But I tell you what, I understood the word obedient. Some of you can probably nod your head in agreement with that. You were taught right from wrong, weren't you? And when you did wrong and your parents said something, you knew you were in trouble. As I shared once before or several times, my mother could be sitting down here and I could be up in the balcony. And if she looked up there and I was misbehaving, she had that one little look that said, when I got home, I was in trouble. And I can guarantee you I did nothing else wrong the rest of that service. That one time was all it took. Obedience. It wasn't because she beat me. It wasn't because she whipped me or anything like that. But that love, I knew that I needed to be obedient. Isn't that the same kind of obedience we need to have to Jesus? We need to have that. Do our actions and plans fulfill his purpose at this church? Are we obedient? Do we teach as he has followed us and asked us to do? When we follow Jesus obediently, then he will bring about that unity in the church to work together. When I worked construction, we had a wall that we had to build, and you had a team over here and a team here and a team over here. Everybody was building their walls. And then when they all got the walls built, they had to be set up. We had to work together to make sure we were all building the same size wall, and we all had to put them together and do what? Lift them up all at the same time. We had to work together hand in hand. If not, and you get one up and one down, they're going to break. And then you have to start all over again. You learn to work together, don't you? In a marriage, it takes what? Two people working together in unity. A church has to work in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, we also see a growing church is a healthy church. Now, there's been several books written, what is a healthy church and how can we be a healthy church? What does it mean being a healthy church? Well, what does it mean to be a healthy person? A healthy person is one that watches what they eat, that exercise, they're disciplined in what they do, and they're considered healthy people. That doesn't mean that you can't die or you can't have a heart attack or any of those things. It means that you work towards. But if you look in verse 16, there are three words or three phrases I want you to see. The first one is grows. The second one is builds. And the last one is in love. As we look at those, we see that if a child stops breathing, we're going to rush them to the emergency room, aren't we? We want to make sure they are breathing and living. And we want to do the same thing. If a person is not growing in Christ, we need to do what? Help them grow in Christ. Get them in church. Get them disciplined. Get them studying and discipleship. Spiritual growth is a community process. We cannot take one-on-one and raise them up, but it takes a community, doesn't it, to raise them up. It takes people that have the patience to work with children. And today we see that the children are so energetic. And for many of us, we can't handle that energetic from the children, can we? But it takes someone. And that's why he gave some to be teachers and apostles and different ones. Spiritual growth is a community process. Left on our own, we become stagnant and cease to grow. I've heard people say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be in this church. I do my own Bible study at home. The Scripture says we need to come together. Let us not quit meeting together. We have to come together. And yes, we may do it to a certain point, but do we do the specialty that we need to do? Where's the growth? Where's the unity? Where's the support that we need from one another? Growth is a process, not an event. Events will motivate us. Process sustains us. An event challenges, but the process changes us. We see that sometimes we use the event to overrun and overtake those others. Events are important, but the process determines the success or failure of the event. Worship services are fantastic. Great worship services that could just put chill bumps all over you are fantastic, and they're great motivators. Revivals are great motivators. Retreats, those mountaintop experiences, are great motivators. But none of these will sustain us in the long run without the process that includes spiritual growth and discipline. As we think about that this morning, how about you? Are you growing in Jesus Christ? Can you look back in your life and see that you were here and you're now here? Or as we mentioned earlier, is that line flatlined? Or is it bouncing? Where are you at today? Are you dying in Christ? Are you living for Christ? Or is there more below the line than above the line? Are you moving on towards perfection? Are you trying to be the very best Christian that you can be? The best servant to God that you can be? The very best disciple for God? What are we doing as a church to encourage one another? As we come this morning, this world is not an encouraging world. It doesn't encourage us to do better. If we want encouragement, we should come where? To the house of God for encouragement, support, and love. Will you join me as we begin to become intentional about growing people for Jesus? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the challenging message that you've given us this morning. We pray that as we read these scriptures, as you have spoken this morning, that we have heard not only with our ears, but with our heart. Father, set our souls on fire. Let us be challenged by you to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, when you call us, we can do it. We can overcome the obstacles that are in our way, and we can claim that victory that you have given us through Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us now. Don't let us leave empty-handed, but let us fill with the Spirit. Let us fill with excitement and joy and happiness that we take into this world this week, that others can see and know the love of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.